as I said earlier, that this church in Sardis was a prosperous church. And the way Jesus dealt with this theme of those that are rich in this world, he says, hard for them to enter in and to the kingdom of God. It says, just like taking a camel and trying to get this camel to go through an eye of a needle. That's how hard it is for those that are rich in this world to enter it into the kingdom of God. And this is a church that was prosperous. And we have to bear in mind as we look at these passages of scriptures, this church had a name, first of all, we need to realize, of being alive. Their reputation had preceded them. People were saying that we like going to that church. This church, we like the way they sing. We like the preacher at that church. We like the way he preaches. We like the building where they worship. They have a nice, plush building. And all those may be good reasons for people to come to worship service, but it shouldn't be the only reason that we come. And we need to understand that church in the eyes of men is something else. In terms of what they were measuring and how they were thinking, they were all right because they had this reputation of being alive. But what God was measuring, God knew that they were dead. That's what we want to look at in these passages of Scripture. And but before I go there, I just want us to just to look at this book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. I just want us just to go there before we read those passages in Revelation. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. And I want to look at verse 3. And as we look at these passages of Scripture, we need to keep in mind that Satan knows the Scripture also. But he perverts the word of God. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11 and verse 3. Paul says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul is saying that he feared for those Christians at Corinth that they might be tricked by the devil, Satan, just like Eve was deceived in the garden and led away from God. He said he feared that. Do you know that Satan quoted the same Scripture to Eve that God had given them? He says that if you eat of this tree, of the fruit of that tree, God says, ye shall surely die. They get the word of God. He's giving it to them. Satan came right back, and he changed one word. N-O-T. He said, if you eat of this fruit, you should surely not die. Just that one word perverted the word of God. And they fell from grace. Adam and Eve could have lived eternally in that garden. But they disobeyed God because they were led away by Satan. And this is something that we, as Christians, as a church, we need to be watching out. As the brother prayed in the prayer, for those that are preaching things that are not in God's word. We need to be watching. We might not get caught up in the trickeries and the wiles of Satan. But let us turn to the book of Revelation and we'll get to the lesson. In the book of Revelation chapter 3. Notice what verse 1 teaches us. It says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write. These things says he that have the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know that works. Thou has a name. Look what I said. They had a name of being alive. He said, thou has a name that thou livest. But the Bible says, men are dead, but they were dead. In verse 2 says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. We need to be watching. The church was weak. And they needed to have their watch. The thing that they had was about to die. In verse 3, the Bible says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, the Bible says, I will come upon thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know which hour I will come upon thee. See, this church has not been called on to remember who they were. Sometimes we have to be called upon to remember that we are the children of God. Do you remember how excited and how zealous that we were when we first obeyed the gospel? How that we just couldn't wait to tell somebody about the word of God. What happened to this artist? The church became satisfied where they were. They were all right in the eyes of men. When God was measuring, God said that they were dead. You see, we need to be reaching out. We need to be reaching out to those that are still in darkness. And when we become satisfied, we cease to serve in the capacity that God wants us to serve in. It's reaching out to those that are lost. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 1? He said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer is that Israel might be saved. He said, I bear them record. They have a zeal of knowledge, but not according to the knowledge of God. They being ignorant of God's righteousness have gone about and established their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. The Apostle Paul remembers that he used to be the chief sinner, but God has shown much grace toward him. He remembered where he used to be. He wanted Israel to be where he was. So he remembered. And it troubled the Apostle Paul that because he wanted Israel to be saved. And so as we should remember where we came from. And that we would still be there were not it wasn't for the grace of God. We'd still be there. So don't let us forget that. Don't look down on the people that are not a member of the Church of Christ, but be reaching out to them. And just remember that we were once there. So we need to be remembering. Let us go on and read. Notice what the Bible says in verse 4 in this book of Revelation. It said, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which had not defiled their garment. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You see, this church in Sardis did not have some of the same problems the church had in Smyrna, but it's not power. those churches, the Bible says that some of their works. But in this church, the Bible says you have a few. In other words, the majority of the people in that congregation in Sardis were all messed up. Only a few had not defiled their conscience. I've often thought about this few. Because you see, the Bible teaches us there's not going to be but a few. This is a lesson for us. Wherever you see masses of people assembling together, a yellow flag should go off. Because you see, people just don't flock to the truth like that. When you see all these masses of people, a yellow flag should go off. Only going to be but a few. This is the Bible speaks of. Now notice, the Bible says in verse 5, he that overcometh, there that word is, overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Sisters, I want us to look at a passage of scripture because this church had a name of being alive, but God said that this church was dead. I want to look at the book of James, if you will, because we need to have a good name. But a good name may not be necessarily true. Let's look at the book of James, chapter 2, verse 7. James chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? People blaspheme the name of Christ. In other words, they make fun of that name that you and I baptize into. That same name, the name of Christ. James says that we as children of God, we ought not to do things if we tear down the name of Jesus Christ. We all as children of God should live such stainless lives that people see in us that surely that person is a child of God. That's how that we should live. But notice what the Apostle Paul also had to say. I want us to look at the book of 2 Timothy. Let us turn there shortly. We'll take a look at that passage of Scripture. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, he said, from such turn away. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. The only thing the Apostle Paul was saying to this young man, Timothy, that church that looks good, but they're denying the power thereof. Good, but they are preaching and teaching things that we can't find in the Bible. We need to turn away from them. That's what he was saying to the young man, Timothy. And I want to look at another passage of scripture here. I want us to look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Notice Paul here. He says, as unknown and yet well known, as dying. And behold, in other words, look, we live as chastened and not killed. We need to understand this morning that it is God that's helping us to live. Each and every one of us today, we may not realize this, we are exposed to death 24/7. It is because of the grace of God that He is keeping us and protecting us from death until our time to leave Him. And we don't realize that, do we? We just ride along, go places, and just do things, and not even aware that we are exposed to death. Every day, it's through the grace of God, we're here. The Bible teaches us that this church should have had a name of dying, but yet they live. But you see, they had this church of living, but the Bible says that they were dead. We need to understand that the more that we die to the ways of the world, is the more that we live. Remember that. The more that we die to the ways of this world, the more that we live. That's a reputation that we need to have. We'll look at another passage of scripture here. In the book of James, I just wanted just to look at James, and we'll look at James chapter 5. And we look at verse 10 through 11. James chapter 5, verse 10 through 11. James says, "Take heed, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord," he said, "for an example of suffering, affliction, and affliction." He said, "Behold," in other words, look, "we count them happy which endure." He said, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And I think we all know the story of Job, and I'll tell us about that shortly. But I want us to look at the book of Ephesians, if we will return there. And then we'll come back to the story of Job. The book of Ephesians chapter 4, I want us to notice something here. The book of Ephesians chapter 4, and I want us to look at verse 1. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. As I said, that we all need to have a good name. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, speak you of the word, I beg you." He said that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, it's not just a calling to be a Christian. It's a high calling. And of all the things in this world that we are honored, whether some graduation that we just spoke about this morning with Matthew, you graduated from some college, or your honor has been bestowed upon you for doing this or that, but the Most High is honor that you receive in this lifetime is your call to be a Christian. That's a high calling. There's no other calling that's higher than that. And so therefore, we need to have a good name. But a good name may not be necessarily true. You see, some of these criminals in this world that had the reputation of being bad. When you have a reputation of being bad, you know, people don't mess with it. We have these bullies in school. They go around bullying people. They go for bad until the right person get hold to them. Find out they're not so bad after all. Some of these some of them have realized the same thing as they go into these prisons. They're not so bad after all when they run into the right person. They had a reputation for being bad, but they really weren't bad. That's what the Bible is teaching about this church in Revelation. They had this name. That name had preceded them of being alive. Well, God was measuring. He said that he did. You know, this building that we worship in, it needs to be used for practical uses. That's what it's here. But the building is not holy. This building doesn't become holy until the people of God assemble here. Then it becomes holy because God is with us. But when we leave here, we don't leave God back here. You see, some people say, well, this morning I came to serve the Lord. No, you didn't. We came to worship him this morning. We should have been serving him all last week. And today we come to serve him. We come to worship him, not to serve him. What if we come to worship service and the singing is not good? Can we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? See, we know not to get excited about the things that are tangible, but have the relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be excited about. Because these things come and go, brothers and sisters. That's what we need to have, the relationship that calls us to be happy. I want us to understand something this morning as we come to the close of this lesson. I want us to just to remember something. I want us to take us to the book of Exodus, and I want us to look at these passages of Scripture. The book of Exodus chapter, I believe it's 32. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 31. Book of Exodus, chapter 32 and verse 31. We'll look at those passages of scriptures. Notice what Moses said to God. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 31. The Bible says, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, have sinned a great sin and have made them gods with God with a small g of gold." Moses says in verse 32, he says, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not," Moses said, "blot me, I pray thee, out of that book which thou hast written." See, this is the book that God keeps. This is where our name was written in this book. And Moses said that if God will not forgive all the people, he said, "Take me, blot my name out of the book. Blot my name." Notice what God replied to Moses in those passages. God told Moses, he said that the sin that people sin unto me, they're the one that name that will be blotted out. We can't stand in for each other. My wife of 48 years, which I love, but I can't stand in. Got to stand before God herself. In other words, those passages of Scripture, I was saying, save yourself. And that's what Peter told those Jews on the day of Pentecost. He said, "Save yourself from this untoward generation," in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 4. He said, "Save yourself." That's what we need to be doing, brothers and sisters. We need to be watching. We save ourselves watching our children, watching what's being preached out of this pulpit, making sure that we are standing fast in the faith, keeping on tradition as God has delivered them unto us. I want us to come to a close and by looking at this book of Job, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. I'm not going to read it word for word. But I think that we all remember the story of Job. In Job chapter 1, the Bible says that one day God, his son, sat down in a assembly together. His son, King James, his son, but some translations say an angel. And guess what? When the people of God assembled together with God, guess who showed up? Oh, Satan. I learned something about Satan by being a Christian. Satan loves good company. That's why we have to be watching. He loves good company. The Bible tells us that Satan showed up. We as Christians, as long as we live, this is what we're going to have to continue. Is that our spiritual may affect the physical. And the physical may affect our spiritual life. This is a battle that we're going to be facing to the day that we live here, and that's why we have to be watching. We have to keep praying to God that we grow strong and not fall. Because we have these two battles going on inside of us. It's the spiritual and the flesh. And the Bible says that when Satan showed up, God asked him, said, where are you going? He says that to and fro, up and down the earth, walking up and down the earth, seeking whom I may devour. God said, have you considered my servant Job, which is upright? He's a perfect man. He turned his face away from evil. What the old saint said to God, well, he's not serving you. Yes, for nothing. Say, you made him rich. You have this hedge around him. That's why he's serving you. You know, he's a wealthy man. You made him rich. And God said that, well, you can go after him. Satan went after him. Just a matter of time. He took all that Job had. And this man became poverty. He was a man that was esteemed in the East, a very wealthy man. Now he's poverty. That's why I say that we have to be careful, because you see, the spiritual can affect the physical. If Job had been serving those material things, he would have died, he would have lost his faith. Job said, naked I came into this world, and naked I shall return. He said, blessed be the Lord. We have to be careful. The sons and the son presented themselves before God. And guess who showed up again? It was Satan. God says that, where are you going? He said, to and fro, walking up and down the earth, seeking whom I'm asking now. He said, you consider my soul, my servant Job, just upright and perfect, and turn his face away from you. And what Satan said, I know Job because I know man. Let me touch his skin and bone. And he will curse you to your face. You see how the physical can affect the spiritual? He was a man that, through the efforts of the devil, became weak and sick. The Bible tells us that top of his head, the bottom of his feet. Sit down with the potter and ask him, scraping his body, trying to find the problem. And all of this was from the essence of the devil. And the Bible says that Job had three friends. They came to visit him, and they came to comfort Job in his suffering. But when they got there, they didn't even recognize Job, that he was so stricken in health. He went into bad health. You know, sometimes that's what people do. When they go into bad health, they give up on God. When they lose all of their money, they give up on God. They go through a bad divorce, they give up on God. They're still growing closer to God, they give up on God. But Job hung in there. And Job realized something. He gained some insight through his suffering. One thing Job realized, he said that he had sinned. But all these things came upon him. And that's one thing that we have to realize, is that just because that we're living a Christian life, we go about doing good, it doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer some of these things out here, brothers and sisters and friends. We're not exempt from it. But we have to continue to pray to God that God may give us strength to go through it. And we know the story of Job. Job hung in there, and God blessed Job in his older days than he did in his younger days. Let us remember that we can overcome through the help of God Almighty. And that's our lesson this morning, brothers and sisters, as we look at this church of God. But I would be remiss this preach unto you and not tell you God's plan of salvation for all mankind. The Bible teaches us this is the first step. God's plan of salvation, we are to hear his word. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And after hearing it, we must believe it. In the book of St. John, chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus, I tell you, nay, except you believe that I am he said, you will die in your sins. In verse 21 of these same passages of Scripture, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, ye cannot come. So we must hear God's word, we must believe it, and after believing it, we must repent. Luke 13 and 3 says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So repentance is a change of mind. We're to turn from the things that we have believed that are not written in the Word of God. And once we hear those things that are written in God's Word and believe it, the Bible says we have to turn from those things to please God. Hebrews 11 and 6, the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. As a repentant come to good confession, the book of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says, if thou would confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, so thou shalt be saved. So with the heart, man believe it unto righteousness, speaking of our mind, not this heart that pumps blood through our body. When someone tells us, well, I love you with all of my heart, and they grab this heart here, you're in trouble. Because this heart does not love. This heart has a duty of pumping blood through our body. This is the heart, our mind, that loves. So that's the Bible says that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need to understand this morning that we are not saved until we are baptized in the watery grave of baptism to have our sins wiped away. That's when we are saved, not before. And we have to know why we are being baptized. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. The Bible says, for as many as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's what we put in, is in the watery grave of baptism. And then we begin to walk in the newness of life. And as we walk, we stumble and fall. We then can repent of those sins. If we committed a sin that has shamed the body of Christ, we are to confess to the church. And as for the prayers of the righteous, of the faithful, they might be restored back into the fellowship. But only if you just need prayer this morning. While we stand and sing the closing selection,